Well, welcome to ABC Healing School Semester 3. And congratulations to everyone, because we are nearing the end of Semester 3, which happens to be the third and final semester of Healing School with ABC. So you're almost there, folks. We got some good stuff remaining. Don't give up now. Keep pressing in, grab hold of all there is that God has for us, because it's so much and it's so wonderful, and we want to take advantage of all of it, don't we? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So tonight's lesson is entitled Offensive Weapons in Spiritual Warfare. And we just want to clarify up front, no, we don't want to cause you offense. We don't want you causing anyone offense. But we're talking about offensive versus defensive. So with offensive, we're talking about attacking. We're talking about being proactive. You taking the first step. You initiating the action. Offensive weapons. Weapons? That's our arsenal in the Word of God. And spiritual warfare, hey, welcome to the army of God. That is our lifestyle, right? Spiritual warfare is an everyday thing with us. We're on the front lines, whether we like it or not. And so we got to know how to get through victoriously. We are the army of God. We were conscripted into the army of God from the day that we said yes to Jesus. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus won the victory, and he told us to go and do. So we're to be active with what he's given us. You know, being in the army of God is a little bit like joining the gym. You may think, how is that possible? Well, think of it like this. You think of how good it would be for you, picturing all those wonderful machines that you can use to get your body in shape, and then you've got all those fun classes to help you achieve your goal, right? So all that put together is going to be just wonderful. You've got this goal in mind, you join, you think, aha, we got it made. But guess what? You don't go. That kind of puts it all to the side. It's like, what good is it? What gains are you going to get from it if you don't go, if you don't use it? So likewise, you have your manual for victorious living. Woo! Known as the Word of God or your Bible. But you have it, but you don't read it. Or you read it, but you don't study it. Or you read it and study it, but you don't act on it. So anyone who's in this situation has head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. And that's what we need, folks, is heart knowledge, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the body acts. And if we don't have that knowledge coming out of there, we're just kind of like this. And that's not going to win the war, I got to tell you. Are you sitting back just waiting for the devil to attack you? Because I guarantee if you just sit back and, you know, kind of la-la land, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's looking forward to it. And so you're not prepared, and now he attacks. Now, what are you going to do? Oh my, you know, the story of the storm that comes and the house that was built on the sand versus the house that was built on the rock. We want our house built on the rock. We want to know what we need to know when the storms of life come, which are pretty much every day as far as Satan's concerned. He would like to just every single day and wear us down. But if we're the ones that build our house on the rock, well, guess what? Then we've got the tools that we need. But if the storms come and we're not prepared yet, It's too late, folks. It's too late to grab hold of what you need to do. We'll be just kind of running around trying to figure out what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? All the storms are coming and the floods are coming and you're just being knocked down. That's not a good place to be. The purpose of ABC Schools is to prepare all of us properly for that victorious living, the victorious life in Jesus, learning and applying what the Word of God teaches us. And God has much to teach us in His Word. So let's take a look at tonight's outline and see just how many offensive weapons are available to us, because there are a lot. We don't need to wait for the devil to attack and defend ourselves. No, we can take that initiative and go forth and win and enforce the battle that Jesus has really already won for us. So, looking at the outline, offensive weapons in spiritual warfare, we start with your spiritual foundation. The sword of the Spirit, we know, is the Word of God. And what do we know about a sword? Anyone who wields a sword doesn't just pull it out and once and put it back in the sheath. Nope. They take it out and they use it as many times, back and forth and back and forth. And, oh, there's an enemy over here. Choo! Oh, another one over here. Choo! So he keeps it going until he's got things under control. And that's true of the Word of God. We've got to get the Word of God on the inside of us so we can just, it's the most automatic thing to come out of our mouths in the situation. Jesus, we call in the name of Jesus. We use the Word of God. Here, number two, the name of Jesus, right? Acts 3:16, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all. Jesus is, oh, that name is beautiful. It's powerful. It's wonderful. You know, every religion has its God and it has its Lord, but only one has the name of Jesus. And God deliberately invested the power in that name of Jesus. So we want to use the name of Jesus frequently, all the time, even. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, so many of us have been so programmed over the years by well-meaning Christians, but they talk about Lord and they talk about Christ and in His name they pray and so forth, but there's no power there. There's power in the name of Jesus, like that last song that we sang. Power is in the name of Jesus, so use it. And then we have water available to us, water and rivers of living water as we pray in tongues. We have power through the water. We know that evil spirits do not like water. So we get to use water and have them be defeated. Thank you, Lord. And then we have the blood of Jesus. You know, the blood of Jesus is so powerful that it confirmed the old covenant, it washed away all of our sins, and it established the new, better, and everlasting covenant. But that's not all. The blood of Jesus keeps on working wondrous things today. It covers or sprinkles our bodies and our possessions. And we can look at Hebrews 9:21, Hebrews 10:19, Hebrews 12:24, and 1 Peter 1:2 to see that that is true. The blood of Jesus also cleanses us from sin. 1 John 1:7. And here's one that many people really don't teach too much, but this is just as powerful. The blood of Jesus speaks. Hebrews 12:24. You know, you hear this. There's a famous investment firm. I believe it's Merrill Lynch. When he speaks, everybody listens. right? You've heard that ad. Well, let me tell you, when the blood of Jesus speaks and the devil's demons and evil spirits all cower, they listen, they hear, and they want to run away, which is good. We want to get rid of them, right? So the blood of Jesus is extremely powerful. And then we have the anointing oil, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Holy Spirit resides on the inside of each one of us. That's why Jesus left the earth, right? Because he could not be with every single person physically on earth, but he can now through his Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us, no matter where we are or where we go, have that Holy Spirit inside us. That's the powerhouse of the Spirit and the powerhouse of the anointing of God in us. That is just so marvelous. And let's look back here. Number three, water. Number four, the blood of Jesus. Number five, the anointing oil. What do we have here? The elements of the three witness. Wow! Each one individually or all three together synergistically working on our behalf. God made them available just for us. Praise God. Number six, confessing your sins. Really, this is such a simple thing, but so many of us were never taught this. We have a testimony of a gentleman who came to ABC. When he came, the doctors had a very evil report over him. They said there were two things very, very seriously wrong with him, and they told his wife to get his things in order because they thought he was going to die. And this was, I don't know, 10 years ago? It was quite a long time ago. Anyway, he gave a testimony that he was so grateful that we had taught about confessing sins. He said he had been a Christian for over 35 years and had never heard anyone teach that. But since he learned it, he was doing it. And it just really made a difference in his life. And I have to tell you, this man is still going strong. And this year, he will turn 96 years old. Isn't that exciting? So look what God wants to do for us. He wants to fill us with his fullness and his life and his strength and his wisdom and get us through all the challenges that we come out the other side victorious overcomers in Jesus. Hallelujah. And communion. Ah, yes. This, to me, I like to call it the gift that keeps on giving. Because it was what Jesus did. He gave up his life. He poured out himself for us. And he still makes available his body and his blood for us to use to combat any and all challenges that the enemy tries to bring against us. And we certainly know he certainly tries a lot and tries hard. And I have a wonderful testimony here of a lady who was diagnosed with brain cancer. Very, very serious. And she made a decision. She did not want to go the medical route. She wanted to go the Dr. Jesus, the Dr. Jehovah Rapha route. And so she decided she was going to partake of communion 30 times a day. Yes, you heard me correctly. 30 times per day. She partook of communion for over 3 years. She never gave up. She continued on. She pressed in. She was consistent. She was faithful. Communion 30 times a day, day after day, after week, after month, after year. And then, guess what? The cancer was totally gone. Totally, totally gone. Her brain was totally healed. And that's the power of communion. Now, sometimes it happens instantaneously. We've talked about this through all the months and years of healing school, that yes, healing can come instantly, but healing sometimes also takes a while. But we need never give up. We need to trust the Word of God. We need to apply the Word of God, knowing that God says what He means and He means what He says, and we can trust Him. We can trust His Word. Oh my, how absolutely glorious it is for us to be in Jesus. Hallelujah. And then He gives us all these wonderful prayers. Look at these now. We begin with the prayer of faith, Mark 11:24. Sound familiar to anybody here at ABC Healing School? The prayer of faith, Mark 11:24. Okay, I see hands going up, smiles, everybody. Everybody's raising their hands, going, yeah, I know it. Well, you know, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know that the prayer of faith is a foundational prayer. We need to know it inside out. We need to use it. We need to understand it so we can use it properly, so we can benefit by it. And I won't take time to review it now, but just remember that we just really need to understand this one very, very well. Then we have the anointing with oil from James 5, verses 14 and 15. The sick, call upon the sick. The sick says, I want to be healed. They come to the minister of God and they say, okay. So remember, if you're ministering to someone who's not born again, the laying on of hands from Mark 16, but with a born again son or daughter of God, you want to use the anointing of oil. Very, very powerful. Because there's a promise in that scripture. He says, you will be healed. God said it. Hey, let's trust it. Let's do it. Then we have the prayer of agreement from Matthew 18:19, where two or three agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done for them. It is a promise of God. Let me show you how it's not very effective. We know a man who decided, well, I think it's time to sell our house. So he talked to his wife about it and they said, okay, we're going to put the house on the market. Okay? She went along with it. And so they showed the house and showed the house, and time came and time went, and they had prayed, or he had prayed up front, and he'd said, in the name of Jesus, this house sells such and such a time, such and such amount of money, and so forth. He laid it all out, and they were together physically, and he had assumed that she agreed with him and that they had the prayer of agreement backing this up. The house didn't sell. So they took it off the market and he just shook his head. He goes, I just don't understand why it didn't sell. We prayed. She goes, well, I never really wanted to sell it in the first place. Ah, guess what? They were not in unity. They were not in agreement. And she just never really let him know before that. He assumed it all that time. When you pray the prayer of agreement, you want to be sure that the two or three of you, however many, are involved in the prayer, are in absolute agreement at whatever level is necessary. Remember, when you're praying for healing, it's not going to work if one person is praying to be miraculously healed and another one's praying for a successful surgery. You must come down to the level of the lowest one, the lowest common denominator, as in math, because that's the one that will work well for all. Okay, then we have the prayer of authority, and this one from John 14:14, Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. We are God's children. God acts in authority. He expects us to be just like him and act in authority. Dominion and authority. We need to start commanding. If we haven't been doing that, we need to practice it. Work up to it, because we need to become comfortable with commanding and prayers of authority. Binding and loosing from Matthew 18:18. Well, you know what? This begins with us here on earth. It says, whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So here's where we take a proactive stance. We take a position of authority and we bind and loose, knowing that heaven's going to back us up in our prayer as we speak these things out, that God is right there to see that what we bind is bound, what we loose is loosed. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, here's a familiar one. The prayer of affirmation. Hebrews 10:23, Revelation 12:11. We're talking about thanking God. The words of our mouth in thanking God. When we pray, remember, we pray one time asking God for something, but then we thank Him as many times as we want to, over and over, all day, all night. I'm sure God never tires of hearing us thank Him. But that's the power of affirmation, speaking forth the word in agreement with God and God's word and what He has to say about us and our situation. If we're in agreement with Him, He's in agreement with us, and we are speaking that out. The power of words. You ask what power words have? Well, let's go back to Genesis 1. And God said, and it was. And God said, and it was. And then He made us in His image. So we have great power in the words that we speak. So we need to watch what we say. If we line it up with the Word of God, then we're speaking the right words. Praise God. Then we have prayers that are very special prayers, very personal applications. Breaking curses. You know, we don't have to live with those all of our lives. We may have up till we came to ABC, but now we've learned that we don't have to be stuck with those things anymore, that we're learning how to get rid of them and get rid of the devils, demons, and evil spirits that are behind them. Establishing the kingdom of God and staying in the kingdom of God. This is so powerful. You know, when we do this, we speak this prayer, we put it into action in our lives, it is just awesome what can happen. And our very own Deborah has a wonderful testimony about this. She is a teacher in a community college. And she had a course she was teaching one summer. But in order to have some vacation time, two teachers came together, Deborah and another teacher, and decided Deborah would do the first half of the summer session and the other teacher would do the last half of the summer session. So each one could still have some vacation time. So Deborah had her first session and then the other teacher took over. And it wasn't but a day or two into the classes that she contacted Deborah and said, "Oh my gosh, how can you handle this class? It is so unruly. They're just so wild. They're not paying attention. They're all chatting. They're off in little groups. And I just don't have control over them. How did you manage with them?" Well, unfortunately, Deborah could not share with her exactly what she did. But between you and me, she established the kingdom of God in her classroom before the students ever showed up. And each and every day, she declared what she wanted in that kingdom of God. Peace, cooperation, respect, unity. You name it, what you expect to be in a classroom that they're paying attention to you and they're learning. Because she had a wonderful class. And this other lady, unfortunately, had no clue how to keep that going. But that's a very prime, very real example that we can learn from for our own selves, that we know that we can put the kingdom of God into action in our sphere of influence and make it work on our behalf as children of God, that we rule and reign here on earth. We have the three witness prayer from 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Doing personal cleansing, something we all need to be doing on a regular basis. And overcoming mind control spirits by staying in the kingdom of God. Again, this establishing the kingdom of God and staying in it has so many amazing benefits. So now we come to dealing with curses, demons, devils, and evil spirits. So, casting out demons and devils and washing out evil spirits. Out where? Out of a person, out of a home, or location, or city, or county, or country. Out of a specific geographical area. Now, one of the things that we have seen is that there are certain geographical areas that have a certain prevalent demonic attachment to that area. And when we recognize that, we can come against those strongholds in that area. And we cast out of, and then we can cast into a dry place for the devils and demons, into a watery place for the evil spirits, they hate that horribly, or into the pit. We've learned about breaking soul ties with people, places, objects, sins, demons, devils, and evil spirits. We've learned about breaking curses, breaking covenants, breaking contracts, breaking vows, and so forth. All of these connections to evil. We just want to chop them off. Get rid of them. Cast them out of us. Now we come to D. Lifestyle healing behavior. Okay, class. Who remembers primary and secondary healing methods? Woo! I see hands going up everywhere. Okay. Remember, the primary methods are the one time only. There are several different kinds, but you pray them one time only. That's your basis of prayer. And then you go to the secondary methods, which you use between the amen of the primary prayer and the there it is of the manifestation. And so these are healing methods that we can use. Praise and worship, praying in tongues, and praying in tongues a lot. Jude 20. Fasting. We learn about a true fast in God's eyes from Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 14. Clapping. Now, this one's interesting. I would like to read you a passage here. This is from Ezekiel 21:14. Now here, what we call clapping, they're calling striking your hands. You therefore, son of man, prophesy and strike your hands together. The third time, let the sword do double damage. It is the sword that slays, the sword that slays the great men. And it goes on to say, they're talking about the heart melting. And then verse 16, I like this. This goes back to verify what I said way at the beginning about the sword of the Spirit. Swords at the ready, thrust right, set your blade, thrust left. Wherever your edge is, ordered. So here it is. God's telling you, don't just take it out once and put it away, and then you clap your hands. There's power And the clapping hands, and you get a group of people doing it together, and the devils are all irritated by it. And we get their attention, and we get to take authority over them. Hallelujah. So, clapping or striking your hand, lifting up holy hands, 1 Timothy 2:8. So many of the denominational Christian churches, some of them are called the Frozen Chosen. Not all of them really are, but a lot of them are not very outspoken, not very emotional. They're not showing their love and their worship for God. They stand with their hands to the side or in their pockets or behind their back, whatever. They're just kind of there. No, God wants us to raise holy hands unto Him. And there's something very, very special that happens when you raise your hands before God. It's like you're plugging into the socket of heaven, and all the power that exists there is just downloading into you when you raise your hands. God is honored that we would lift our hands to Him, that we would be obedient to His word, that we would make that effort to honor Him. But then He also blesses us in return more than we could ever imagine. Kneeling before the Lord, and I'm adding in lying prostrate before Him, because the Word of God says we can do all of it, and it all honors Him. In semester one, we had the daily steps for divine health. Remember that? And semester two, the daily scenarios for spiritual warfare. You don't want to forget those. It's always a good idea to get your manuals out from previous semesters and review, because chances are, as much as we all desire to do it all, probably we're not. And sometimes it's like you review and, oh, I forgot about that. You know, and then we're like, okay, I can put that into action. You know, now that I'm reminded of it. So do review. It's worth it. You will see. If you get one thing out of it, one step you haven't been doing, I guarantee you it will bless you. And it will bless God that you're doing it. So, ministry guidelines, part E. We want to minister with authority. Why? Because all power is available to us in the name of Jesus. Remember what we said? God vested the name of Jesus with power. So when we use the name of Jesus, we are exercising that authority and exercising that power and using it and putting it to the glory of the kingdom of God. So we want to minister with authority. We want to use the name of Jesus. And always, of course, we want to minister according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We want Him to guide us and direct us. God knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows step by step where we're going and what's going to happen. And He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to ask, okay, Holy Spirit, where do I go? Okay, what do I say? Even when you're going to the store and you're picking out some fruit, okay, Lord, which one shall I pick? You want to be sure and get the ones that He wants you to have. And maybe, as Pastora Karen found out one time, God said, none of them. My favorite mangoes, Lord, how come? Well, she learned on the news that night that there was a recall. They were making people very, very sick. And so she was so grateful that she had asked the Holy Spirit, that she heard the Holy Spirit, and that she had been obedient to the Holy Spirit not to buy any. Praise God. That's one example of benefits that we have by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We minister deliverance and cleansing, not so much based on what Jesus did, but what he said and what he taught. And you're like, why? Well, let's explore this. When Jesus ministered, Satan was not yet defeated. Different situation from where we are today, because today Satan has been defeated. Hallelujah. You know, we need to enforce that defeat. We need to remind him that he's defeated and not give him any reign or any power with us. When Jesus ministered, no one was yet born again either, because that didn't take place until after the death and resurrection, death, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. And the born-again experience was subsequent to that. It was based on the price that he paid that made being born again possible. Thank you, Jesus. So when Jesus ministered, it was rare, if ever, that the person with the demon had previously been cleansed of that demon. That is, it was a first-time casting out event. Now, today it's quite common, unfortunately, too common, to have a subject out of whom the same demon or demon type had been previously cast out, but has been permitted to return. Often the cycle has been repeated, and not just once, but on multiple occasions. And we know that when this happens, it's very, very bad. Because when demons are cast out and they're allowed to come back, the scripture has a very clear description of what happens. That demon wanders around for a while and can't find anything, isn't happy, and decides to go back and check out. Can I go back to where I just came out of? Oh, okay, I can. And he brings seven worse, more evil, more violent demons with him. We call them the seven worsers. So you don't just get the same one back if you let them back in, but then seven worse ones come to attack also. And the state of this person, the latter state, is now worse by seven times than the time before. And what happens if this happens multiple times? Well, 7 times 7, 49 times 7 times 7 times however many times this process occurs, and they get worse and worse and worse. We're not doing anyone any favors to cast demons out of people that aren't ready. That's why we go through a year and a half, three semesters of teaching in the healing school and building it up step by step, that we need to learn what sin is. We need to learn what our sins are so we can deal with them. We know how to cast them out then. And then the idea is you have learned how to put a barrier up and not let them back in. You don't want to let them back in, ever. So that's something that we really have to take very seriously. And Jesus was not casting demons out of Christians, because there weren't any Christians there. By the time his disciples were Christians, Jesus was headed for heaven at the right hand of the Father. And so it was now up to his disciples to take over. And we are a further generation of disciples of Jesus. So now it's our responsibility. And what's exciting is what he told us, that the works that he did, we would do, and
greater.
Yes, greater works than he did will we do, because we have the word and we have the spirit, and we're gaining the knowledge to know how and when to do it. So, disciples of Jesus Christ, greater works are you prepared to do? Let's grab hold of these offensive weapons and let's fight our spiritual warfare and become the overcomers that God created us to be. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.